This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Indeed, check them out, franklinarmory.com. Last week, federal prosecutors offered an undisclosed plea deal to two lawyers who firebombed an NYPD van and drove around passing out Molotov cocktails to protesters at a violent May 2020 Black Lives Matter protest in Brooklyn. Arooj Rahman, 31, and Collinford Mattis, 32, who was driving the car used in the crime, had been indicted in June for arson, conspiracy, and the use of explosives. They faced life imprisonment. In the name of social justice, politicians and the judiciary in many cities and states are bestowing moral rights on violent left-wing and anarchist groups, which is not really part of their purview. They have one set of laws they're supposed to go by. District Attorney Mike Schmidt, for instance, announced in August that he won't prosecute most of the 550 people arrested during the 75 days of mayhem in Portland last spring. He said the leniency was an attempt to create a forum to express collective grief, anger, and frustration at the death of George Floyd and the history of abuses endured by people of color. How big of this guy. How absolutely magnanimous. You know, George Floyd... It's bad when anybody dies, but I mean, George Floyd was going to die anyway. If he'd not seen a police officer at all, he was going to die that day anyway. And we have two schools of thought. We have two autopsy reports. But at the same time, every day, 8,000 people die anyway of premature causes. And in the inner cities, a bunch of young black men who haven't lived to be as old as George Floyd, they die in gang violence. So why in Portland they would have to create a forum to express collective grief is beyond me. He also said using the criminal justice system against them would undermine public safety for those demanding to be heard. Schmidt, his Democrat cohort, and leftist sympathizers in journalism, law, and academia willfully ignore the fact that such misplaced clemency condones and encourages militant groups' violence, their disrespect for the law, and their anti-American agenda. Now, in contrast, which is very interesting to me right now, they are bearing down heavily on gun owners who defend themselves at protests by militant leftist groups like Antifa and BLM. Under threat... implied threat here under this is are the Second Amendment right to bear arms and the legal justification to act in self-defense. Now, the protest and rioting led to a skyrocket in the gun sales chart. You know, if you look at their little pie chart, their little line graph, straight up. This is driven by worries that in response to the group's anarchist demands that the Democrat-run municipalities and administrations are reducing funds for policing and law enforcement. 8.5 million new gun owners last year. It's noteworthy that the largest increase in sales of any demographic group was among blacks, who accounted for 58% of the sales. And I say here, because they're in the neighborhoods where this problem is happening. The Second Amendment grants arms-bearing rights regardless of skin color, and this has to be upheld. But the way biased prosecutors have responded to self-defense cases, all involving people menaced or attacked by Antifa/BLM, is really, it should be a cause for worry, but only if you live in certain locales. Three cases of self-defense stand out in particular: the Michael Strickland case, the Mark and Patricia McCluskey case, and the Kyle Rittenhouse case, which you've heard about quite a bit. Michael Strickland is sort of emblematic. He's found guilty by an Oregon court for defending himself by pulling out and pointing a gun for which he had a concealed carry permit. Back in 2016 in Portland, he was covering an Antifa event, and he was surrounded and attacked. What we would call this disparity of force was present at that particular time. So fearing for his life, he pulled out his handgun, but it indexed his finger on the side of the slide, got the mob to back off, and then he ran. And the cops weren't going to arrest him at first, but then the protesters came forward and protested. And then he accumulated 21 charges, 10 of which were felonies. He's found guilty by a stacked jury and ordered to jail. Then the prosecuting attorney launched a media smear campaign against Strickland, and the presiding judge, who ended up denying that the case met the reasonable person standard, refused to allow exculpatory evidence. Strickland served 40 days, received 5 years probation, and was stripped of his Second Amendment right. He's no longer allowed to practice journalism and cover leftist mobs. I don't even know how that falls under their purview, to be honest with you. Top lawyer Robert Barnes, who's taken his case in the Supreme Court of the United States, has cited the assault on his client as adequate grounds for self-defense. You're just not kidding, pal. Then there's Mark and Patricia McCluskey, both lawyers. They stand charged with a felony. It's been so bad there that they have, kicked Kim Gardner out. She can't even do it anymore. Two trial court judges disqualified Gardner for prosecuting the McCluskey case because she inappropriately used it for fundraising emails. And she requested that the Missouri Supreme Court restore her authority to prosecute the case because this is a scalp for her. Probably because Soros called her and said, "You better get this. I paid good money to get you in there." Then there's 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, an Antioch, Illinois resident. You know the story about what happened in Kenosha. After he put out a fire in a dumpster is what I'm being told. I wasn't there. He's chased by a rider, Joseph Rosenbaum, a registered sex offender convicted by an Arizona court. Random shot rang out, and Rittenhouse found himself surrounded by a mob with bats and other melee weapons. He fired 4 shots in self-defense and tried to run, and even tried calling 911 to turn himself in. As he ran, he was assaulted with a skateboard and suffered an attempt to seize his rifle. In the end, Rosenbaum, 36, Anthony Huber, 26, they were killed, and Gage Grosskreutz, 26, was injured. Although he acted in self-defense, he was charged with 2 counts of homicide and released on a $2 million bond. In all 3 cases, there seemed to be clear-cut arguments for self-defense in the face of imminent danger. So the prosecution of Strickland, the McCluskeys, and the Rittenhouse case looks like a witch hunt meant to bolster calls for radical gun control legislation. The exoneration or light sentencing of rioters responsible for destroying communities and hundreds of assaults underlines that suspicion. And the Biden administration is pushing to gut the Second Amendment, and gun confiscation might be on the horizon if they thought they could get away with it. So this leads to the logical conclusion that the outcome for Strickland, the McCluskeys, and Rittenhouse is anything but certain. The final rulings in these cases could be considered a weather vane for the future of self-defense in the U.S., but Americans could very well be in danger of losing their right to own firearms and use them for their protection. But it's all going to come down to the states. It's all going to come down to the states. I wonder what kind of voting machines they have in these states where all of these Soros DAs are present. I'd be interested to know that. In any event, yes, this is one of these things that they push. They push it all the time. And, we'll see what we get out of it. Strickland case has already been decided and now it's headed to the Supreme Court. That's one I want to see. But we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Webster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold
our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Check them out at franklinarmory.com. Now, it takes 3 days after any event to find out what happened. And then 30 days to find out what really happened. The dust storm of information and misinformation takes a while to settle in the perpetually online United States. And the truth lodges in fewer places now. Emigres from the 1970s Soviet Union advised us that the only real information in Pravda laid between the lines. And so it is with the bulk of U.S. media, which doesn't even try to hide its role now as the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party anymore. And after 60 days, what do we and what don't we know about the events of January the 6th? And not the problem is not what we know, it's what we don't know that bothers me. When information that ought to be public isn't, there's a reason, and it is never good. Now, we know that there was no insurrection, coup, or sedition. Insurrection is an organized rebellion with the intent of toppling a government. Normally, there's a lot of blood. A coup d'etat or coup is the seizure of political power by illegal or violent means. Insurrections and coups often involve the military. Always, they involve weaponry. Sedition is the act of encouraging them. No one condemns the events of January the 6th. I condemn them without equivocation, you know, just altogether. That said, neither an insurrection nor a coup took place, no matter how often the politicians or their media sycophants parrot those words. They're once again changed. This is the same thing where they get out there and you'll just be tearing them up in a debate and they'll go, well, you're a racist. So now we're using new words, insurrection and coup. No attempt was made to topple the government. Not a shot was fired by the protesters of the hundreds of thousands who rallied. Only a handful were arrested for bringing guns, and the FBI didn't recover any guns at all. So what would we call January 6th? It was a small riot. But the Associated Press started prohibiting that term in 2020, instead mandating unrest. So AP covered a great deal of unrest this past year, accompanied by murder, assault, arson, and looting. 700 buildings were destroyed, 28 people died. Hundreds of police officers were injured. Even when silhouetted against a skyline of flames, reporters invariably described the unrest as mostly peaceful. Following their own rules, the AP would have, would get out there and say the events of January 6th, the mostly peaceful unrest at the Capitol. We don't know how many people were forced their way inside. Charges have been filed against more than 300. We were told that would increase by an order of magnitude or more than 1,000. Probably won't, though, because, there's video footage out there. We do know many were allowed into the Capitol calmly by law enforcement. You can't be charged with a crime that didn't happen. Well, it used to be that way anyway. They proceeded between the velvet ropes in statutory hall on camera, damaging nothing. They broke no law. Watch that video. We do know that charges filed against others, trespassing, disrupting an official proceeding, as was done routinely at the Kavanaugh hearings, roughly every 10 minutes, disorderly conduct, and a few cases of destruction of property. Four windows were broken. Some will be charged with assault on officers, which is a serious crime, routinely ignored of late, but not at the Capitol. At least one may have contributed to the subsequent death of Officer Brian Sicknick, the most recent innocent victim of unrest. But, alas, there is no autopsy or official cause of death for Officer Sicknick. We know he returned to his post after telling his brother he was fine, although he was exposed to pepper spray. His mother, Gladys, revealed to the Daily Mail he wasn't hit on the head, no. We think he had a stroke, but we don't know anything for sure. We'd love to know what happened. FBI Director Ray testified on March the 2nd that he still couldn't tell her or us. We don't know why the police officers let the protesters in. They may have done so in defiance of orders. They may have been directed to. You've seen footage of the red-hatted protesters screaming at a group of riot-clad officers to repel others forcing their way in. This is the Capitol. Stop them. But they do nothing. We don't know why the Capitol wasn't better defended. We know that Sund, the chief, begged House officials prior to January 16th for reinforcements. Trump wanted to deploy 10,000 National Guard troops. They were both turned down, reportedly because of the optics. Additional law enforcement was deployed during BLM unrest last summer. We saw photos of them lining the Capitol steps, well-equipped. We were told the disparity was motivated by racism, which is preposterous. We don't know how many agents provocateur were in the crowd. That's an old tactic, which has often been employed effectively by the communists. We do know that at least three were there because they were congratulating themselves afterwards. Although, once again, FBI Director Wray denies this because he believes Antifa is only an idea, even though Sullivan, an Antifa agent, was charged. I really like to know why a police officer dealing with unrest could fire a fatal shot at an unarmed woman without consequence, and I'd like to know who that was. On any other occasion, we would. Police officers say that's often done before they finish the paperwork. We know it was. This was all done by a tiny percentage of radicals. We know that they were there while they made it to the Capitol while the speech was still going on. We also know that the unrest of January 6th was the most fortuitous possible event for the left, whose goal was to marginalize and silence anyone opposing their radical agenda. And they will use it as a bludgeon with the tacit approval of many. These kind of events very seldom happen by sheer luck. And this is why I have a problem with the things we don't know. And we sort of need to know all of these things that I've mentioned. We need to know what happened to Officer Sicknick. We need to know why Ashley Babbitt, why she was shot, while she had cops behind her. Why would that be okay? Because, you know, these guys weren't behind barricades or anything. But anyway, too much we don't know. There's just too much we don't know. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden signed his massive $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill a day earlier, the ceremony happening after Biden originally planned to sign it on Friday. The relief bill getting no support from Republicans in the House or Senate. Republican Senator from Louisiana, John Kennedy, telling Fox News,
"We tried with President Biden. He said, look, I'll meet you halfway. We said, okay. Well, and then he just ignored us. I mean, if he was meeting us halfway, he's a damn poor judge of distance."
A federal judge struck down a nationwide eviction moratorium issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, ruling the 2020 ban was beyond its authority. The CDC argued the eviction ban was needed to curb the spread of the coronavirus. And you're listening to USA Radio News. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is marking the one-year anniversary of the first coronavirus shutdowns.
Over 500,000 Americans who have died. Around 30 million have become infected.
During a Capitol briefing, the California Democrat calling it heartbreaking. Pelosi also cheering the passage of the massive stimulus bill, which was signed by President Biden today. The White House is continuing to defend the Biden administration's immigration policies. Press Secretary Jen Psaki telling reporters it will take time to fix the mess, her words, left behind by the Trump administration. Texas Republican Congressman Troy Neals says the influx of illegal immigrants crossing over into Texas is hurting his state.
The stories that I could share with you today, but we don't have the time, the horrific stories, the number of victims in Fort Bend County that have been victimized by illegals would make a billy goat puke.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
To you live. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sports, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Indeed, check them out at franklinarmory.com. The home of the binary trigger, the home of the Saluce line, the militia line. I really like the militia line. Providence, Reformation. Check them out. franklinarmory.com. NPR. Trying to be, I guess, relevant. They're wondering out loud, I guess, on the air, if gun sales caused crime spike. That's an interesting question. Pretty easily answered, you know, but it's an interesting question. And the answer, at least according to the researchers that NPR reporter Matt Martin Cass spoke to, appears to be probably not, maybe a little, but we really don't know, which is 100% the truth. Now, here's the problem. Most of the new guns that got bought by first-time gun buyers. Let that, drink that in and understand what that means. These are people that have never owned a gun before. During an ammunition shortage. So we don't know what they bought. We don't know what kind of ammo they were able to get with it. Probably not is actually almost definitely not. Yeah. Now, the gun control activists, on the other hand, are certainly making the argument that the primary driver for the rise in shootings and homicides in most cities last year was a result of record high gun sales. And their solution, of course, is putting more gun control laws on the books. But as Mr. Cast learned, it's far more complicated than that. Julia Schleimer said it's a real challenge to try and disentangle the role of any one single potential cause. She's with the Violence Prevention Research Program at the University of California, Davis. It's particularly challenging during the pandemic with variables such as mass unemployment and closed schools. But they are trying to parse out the effect of all these new guns. Their study of the initial boom in purchases, an estimated 2.1 million extra sales from March to May, concluded that there was an association between short-term surges in sales and shootings, which is really overly simplifying things. Because the people buying the guns were not doing the shootings. So there was no relationship. As they found out, and as the year progressed, Schleimer even said that statistical relationship faded. We know there's a strong link between more guns and more gun violence, but during this pandemic and in our analysis here, that link is less clear. With all due respect to Schleimer, who lives in California, we actually don't know that there's a link between more guns and more gun violence. As a matter of fact, we know there is no link. We know that more guns in places where people can carry them are a detriment to crime. In fact, until 2020, violent crime had been steadily declining across the United States for more than two decades, even as gun sales steadily increased and millions of Americans embraced gun ownership with their right to carry. But the University of Denver's Trent Stidley, who studies the sociology of firearms in America, which I would love to see that syllabus, says it's too early to conclude that the increase in the overall supply of legal guns last year led to more guns used in crimes, especially when you look at the last decade. He says, we've sold a lot of guns since 2008, and year over year until 2020 we saw crime rates declining. I don't think 2020 is going to settle this. Cast decided to speak to Cam Edwards, who, you know, and then he quoted him in the NPR piece. Now, the general take here is that the biggest reason for the increase in violent crime was the fact that the criminal justice system nearly ground to a halt in many cities. And not only did you have jails being depopulated and police forces told not to enforce low-level arrests in places like Philadelphia, but court systems were closed for months on end in many cities. There was also a pullback in policing in many places after the riots sparked by the death of George Floyd, which further emboldened criminals. For the gun control activists, it's a little more simple. Gun sales increased last year and so did violent crime. Therefore, violent crime must have increased because of more guns. And the truth is more complicated. It's always more complicated. And if you want to dumb it down and make it as simplistic an argument as anti-gun advocates, I'd say the opposite is actually the case. Violent crime increased last year, and so did gun sales. Therefore, gun sales must have increased because of violent crime. Okay. According to the survey of new gun owners, self-defense was the primary motivation behind a majority of gun purchases. And as violent crime increased during 2020, and most the government did nothing to address the problem beyond holding press conferences and vowing to do something. Millions of Americans decided that they were going to do something too. They bought a gun in case they became a victim of a carjacking, home invasion, or robbery. If the increased number of firearms in private hands actually caused the crime spike last year, we would have seen that in pre-COVID data as well. Gun sales soared last year, but they've been strong for nearly a decade without any correlating rise in crime. And the increase in new gun owners isn't to blame for the increase in violent crime, and more gun control laws aren't the way to turn those numbers around. Very simple stuff. But here's what it boils down to. Where Antifa and BLM were allowed to operate undisturbed, you did have a rise in violent crime. You had a rise in property crime. You had a rise in shootings. You had a rise in deaths. Absolutely. You did. And in other places, well, not so much, but I mean, Antifa, and let's look at Washington State, for example. Now, they were all about going all over Seattle, but they never went to Bellevue. Bellevue, of course, is the that's where Second Amendment Foundation is. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody at the Second Amendment Foundation was out front with a plate carry on saying, go ahead, cross that horizon. That's not what happened. The Bellevue is a different attitude than Seattle. So they never went to Bellevue. You know, they talked about going into the neighborhoods, and if we see them coming into the neighborhoods, well, there would be a rise, and I guess we would be testing the self-defense thing I was talking about earlier. We'd put that would be put to the test because, you know, that's what they were doing in St. Louis with the McCluskeys. That's what they were doing in St. Louis with the McCluskeys. That's what they were doing in Kenosha. Excuse me. But this is not about an increase in new gun owners with guns out there. I mean, that 8.5 million new gun owners that bought guns, they're still hashing out what they're going to do with this. Maybe some of them, maybe, I don't know. I'm just guessing. On the other hand, we had government-sanctioned violence being allowed to be done in the name of social justice. We have DA standing down. We have the cops being pulled back or quitting, defunding, all this other stuff. And they want to say, well, because law-abiding citizens bought guns. That's what caused it. How many first-time offenders got arrested during this? Anybody? Show of hands? I didn't think so. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence. Intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Franklin Armory.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Indeed. Check them out at franklinarmory.com. Michael Bloomberg's Everytown for Gun Safety is teaming up with the Baltimore Police on a new project that they claim will help identify firearm retailers who are arming the city's criminals. That one statement in and of itself is stupendous. I mean, it is just, it's astounding. Because, you know, every time I go to the gun shop, I'm like, can you get these gangbangers out of here so I can buy my gun? Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. That's not actually a real thing. They have something called the Gun Trafficking Intelligence Platform. This was announced by the city's new mayor, Brandon Scott, on Wednesday. And it appears that every town may be looking at other cities it can join forces with as well. According to Maryland's Capital Gazette newspaper, the new partnership between police and the nation's largest anti-gun group, which the paper simply describes as a nonprofit focused on preventing gun violence, will try to discover how criminals are obtaining firearms, since Baltimore doesn't actually have any gun stores or ranges inside the city limits. Sort of makes me wonder where the gun dealers are going to be that they're going to be overseeing. During a discussion with Evertown's president, John Feinblatt, Wednesday morning, Scott said the program will integrate data from the ATF and in their e-trace system, which allows participating law enforcement agencies to submit firearm traces and ballistic evidence to a national database to compare to the police department's own data on crime and the city's spot shotter gunshot detection network. This sounds very complicated to me. Scott said, in essence, what this tool does is it enables our detectives to see the full picture of guns fueling the violence here in Baltimore. With a few clicks, our detectives can see patterns related to where our crime guns are coming from, who they're coming from, and also allows them to see connections between where guns are coming from and how they're being used on the streets. Well, okay, that sounds all high and mighty. I really would like, if you're going to go out there and you actually catch some of these guys, you're going to prosecute them? You're gonna bring the book down on them, bring it down on them. But here's a question: why does Every Town for Gun Safety, an NGO, why do they need to be involved? It's the Baltimore PD that will be scrapping the data from the ATF's e-trace system And the police department could easily establish their own platform without the help of the nation's largest gun control group. I kind of think this, it looks like every town managed to get a hold of the data meant for law enforcement. And they're going to try, maybe they're going to try to start to build their own database on gun shops. Now, once again, they don't have any gun shops in the Baltimore City limits. There's no FFLs there. So who are they going to be watching? Police Commissioner Michael Harrison said in an afternoon press conference that the tool will be integrated into the department's Gun Intelligence Center, which was created with a $750,000 grant, federal grant, in 2019. It also looks at federal databases of guns and ballistics to track guns used in crime. Harrison said, as we all know, firearms are not manufactured here in the city of Baltimore. However, they do fall in the hands of young men and women who continuously commit senseless violent acts with no regard to those who may be caught in the crossfire. Feinblatt said that the program will be implemented at no cost to the city and that he hopes it will create a chilling effect causing people who sell guns to known criminals to reconsider their actions in light of potentially being tracked. Okay, so how are you going to track the guy? Okay, let me tell you what happened to me the other day. The other day when I decided to switch and just go solely with CZs, right? In the space of about 10 days, I acquired 4 of them. And there's a possibility it may still happen. For all I know, I may get a knock on the door from the FBI saying, recently you got 4 guns. Do you still have them? In which case, I will bring them up here into my studio. And I will open up my toolbox, which is a big, heavy affair with a lock. And I will let them see the 4 guns which I have purchased. And while I'm doing it, I'll be filming it as part of the One America News Network show that I'm doing. Nothing like that impromptu opportunistic moment that I might find. Now, I understand what they're saying, but what they're saying is that typically somebody in Baltimore that's selling guns to criminals, this is not an FFL. This is not somebody that sells guns also to, you know, to a school teacher. And they don't have any in the city limits. So where is their jurisdiction going to be on this one if they can only do it within the city limits? That would be what I think. But they're going to be looking for somebody that would buy, I don't know, 40 guns and stick them in their trunk and then go up the street and start selling them around all these places. There's going to be no chilling effect on these guys. These guys are criminals. They're criminals because they scoff at the law. Now, it's already against federal law to knowingly sell a firearm to a prohibited person, so I doubt their database is going to have a chilling effect on bad actors. Now, what I do suspect is they will try to massage whatever data they come up with to portray high-volume gun sellers as accomplices to Baltimore's criminals, whether the shops have actually violated any laws or not. Their idea of gun safety is don't own a gun, and their larger goal is to go after legal gun ownership. They have a vested interest, in other words, in portraying the firearms industry in the most negative light possible. And Baltimore is going to help them with that agenda in exchange for free cash and services to get the database up and running. Now imagine what would happen if a big city police department teamed up with the NRA on a program to identify the most violent offenders in high-crime neighborhoods. Do you think the media would report that one in such glowing, you know, praising terms? Or would they have pointed questions for officials with the city and the NRA? Right now, the press in Baltimore, they seem more interested in writing press releases for the city and the anti-gun group instead of asking real questions. And they want to, you know, like the benefits that every town will derive from gaining access to law enforcement data. By the way, the police commissioner is wrong about firearms not being manufactured in Baltimore. ADCOR Defense is located in the heart of the city and is manufacturing firearms each and every day. So if Harrison is oblivious to the gun makers that are legally operating inside his city limits, I can't help but wonder if he's just as clueless about a gun control group that the city is getting in bed with, or if he's on board with their anti-gun agenda. That's pretty bad. ADCOR, if memory serves, they make an AR-15 that has a charging handle on the left side of it that's up on the front of the barrel. If I'm thinking right, I'll have to look that. I'll look into that as we come, you know, as we go along. But there's no guns made in Baltimore, well, except for those. And, you know, I would love to know if anybody's gotten any Poly 80s. Any Poly 80s out there in Baltimore? Have they intercepted them or done anything with them? Stopped you from getting them? So it is a gas piston rifle. Pretty nice one. Anyway, that's pretty funny. When you get out there, getting out there and making a statement like that in the press. Oh, yes, they do. And it does have the side charging handle. Cool. All right, I was correct about that. Memory did serve, thank goodness. Nothing, I don't want to get into one of those, well, as memory is going situations. Heard a lot of good things about ADCOR. Didn't know they were made in Baltimore. Maybe they should look at where they're operating and maybe get out of there. I'll have to give them a call and give them my advice, my unsolicited advice. I'm sure they'll want to hear that. Coming up next hour is going to be we're going to take a step down on Planet Rick and hang out with Rick Hector for about an hour. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIguns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.